Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to Pawnee Public Radio.
With your hosts, Hannah and Will. Gesundheit, bless you. Feel better. Welcome to episode 2 flu season. Hannah, how are you feeling right now?
Well, in preparation, my dog did get sick and threw up, but it was just because my puppy really wanted to stay on game for the episode. She's doing all right now. She's feeling peppy, but, you know, she just really wanted to connect to this podcast episode. That's the kind of commitment she showed.
Yeah, she was LARPing. She was role playing along with the episode. She wanted to really get into the spirit of it. I can relate.
Yeah. It's her favorite episode. Yeah. I just want to cut to the chase.
Please.
I want to get right into it. We have a guest who's just sitting here waiting for us to introduce him. He is a comedian, a writer. He was on Deal or No Deal with me. It's Zeke Smith.
Hey. Hi. Hannah, can I just ask you one favor?
Oh, no.
Stop pooping.
Yeah, when we said that we're all sitting for this podcast, we should have been a little more specific.
We are all sitting on toilets. We have squatty potties. And you know what? We've been sitting here for a while, so our hemorrhoids are going to be egregious when we stand up.
Can I ask you one question?
Sure.
Why is half your face all swirly? the whole beginning of this, the whole podcast is just going to be us saying our favorite lines. Because Zeke, I'm very thankful you came on. I also, Zeke called shotgun on this episode. He was like, I want to come on and I want to talk about this episode.
Yeah, I found out Hannah had a Parks and Rec recap podcast. And this episode, flu season, season 3, episode 2, is one of my, if not my, favorite episodes of television in all of the world. I've watched this episode so many times. I think it's hilarious. Zingers left and right. I've never really considered why is this episode more special than other Parks and Rec episodes? And I think one of the fun parts of this episode is that we get to see people paired together who aren't usually paired together. And it's fun to watch Aubrey Plaza torture. And, it's fun to watch Ron and, Chris Pratt. Sorry. It's like half actor names, half cast names. So that's how my brain works.
I've never done that. So
yeah, them
I do that all the time.
Bonding and loving each other. And then we get to see two of the most uptight people be total goofballs, with, Amy Poehler and
Ben Wyatt.
Amy Poehler and
Chris Pratt and Rob Lowe.
Yes, just sort of hallucinate and be hilarious. So I think that's it. It's like it's Parks and Rec, and if you love Parks and Rec, this is Parks and Rec turned on its head, and so it's just a bundle of laughs.
Yeah, this is the kind of episode that is why people love the show.
Mm.
This is why people are like, no, this is just as special as any Mike Schur show. It's episodes like this.
Yes, yes.
What is, we know you love this episode. What is sort of your, what's your history with Parks and Rec, Zeke? How far do you two go back?
Oh, Parks and Rec and I go back to the beginning.
Whoa.
So I've always been an SNL nerd. That's when I fell in love with Amy Poehler. I mean, I would say more than that. I have a deep and abiding love and always have for Thursday night NBC comedies. As a little kid, I used to play Playmobil and watch Seinfeld and laugh at jokes like, it's salsa, not salsa. And I didn't know what that was. I didn't know what a Jew was. But in my third grade mind, it was hilarious. And I would go back to school and I would repeat Seinfeld jokes to my friends thinking that that would finally make me popular. Spoiler alert, didn't.
It did.
And to all the third graders
watching. You were
the
most popular kid in school.
Yeah. If you're a third grader in Oklahoma City, maybe don't quote Seinfeld to your friends thinking that that's a fast track to sitting at the cool kid table.
But how good does it feel to find like your own cool kids table where people are quoting the same thing? Like, I think about that sometimes in like middle school and high school when suddenly you're like saying Lonely Island sketches to each other and that's all your sense of humor is. For me, is like,
well, that for me didn't happen until after college, until I started doing improv and like got involved at the Upright Citizens Brigade. So for me, that took a long time to figure out. But now that it has, it's great. Yeah. But I'm sorry, I'm going to ramble a bit.
No, please.
But yeah. The long way back to answering your very succinct question is I watched Parks and Rec from the beginning and have always been sort of a week-to-week fan and continue to, you know, rewatch it all the time.
Well, you're in good company. We're really glad you're here. Thanks for sitting with us.
Yeah, we all watched it together first. We all just said the lines in unison. It was very chanty.
Yeah, lightly cultish, but ultimately pleasant. Really, really a good time had by all.
It's also a weird episode to be watching right now during COVID. Like, usually we can ignore the pandemic of the world, but I feel like there's just some references to masks and quarantine, and it feels more relevant than...
It is. You're like, you know, Chris Traeger, he doesn't want to get sick, so he wears a mask. He also goes to a hospital where there are sick people, so maybe those two sort of like cancel each other out. but they are. Yeah, because Leslie is one of those people who, and I think, I wonder if this trend will continue. Or am I jumping ahead too much?
Jump.
No, it's okay. You can yeah. jump and then we'll jump back.
Sure, great.
So, in an early scene,
Leslie is super sick and going to work. And I remember a time where that was what you were supposed to do. You're just supposed to like suck it up and go to school or go to work. In fact, I had this one, my like favorite history teacher in high school, Mrs. Adamack. She was a real tough broad and she would come to school so sick. And it would be gross. She'd be standing up there like, you know, the Protestant Reformation. And she's like hacking and gacking. And I'm like, it was gross.
I said, oh, gosh, as if like I didn't. When I had to take my SAT 2s in high school, you know, I just wanted to do well in my SAT 2s. Mm-hmm. But I went in to take them and I had the swine flu. So I made it through the first one. I made it through the first SAT 2. And then I was supposed to take a second one back to back, and I just passed out.
Oh my God.
But in my head, as a junior in high school, it made sense.
Oh, yeah.
That was the priority.
Yeah.
Yeah, when like stuff started getting canceled rightfully because of COVID, and everyone was like, oh, high schoolers, like they're missing their prom. The first thought was like, fuck prom. How are they going to take their standardized test? What if they've been working really hard on their grades? I don't know. Maybe I wasn't great in high school either.
Yeah, I think that feels also like, I think the fictional town of Pawnee is such a microcosm of like small town, you know, rural America. And it's a way to talk about local politics. But it also, that feels like such an American thing of like, tough it out, you know, of like pulling yourself up by your Kleenexes or whatever to like
by your just be tissues.
Tough. Yeah. Hannah, when you were talking about taking this like a standardized test, it just brings back like visceral physical memories of there is always one person sniffing periodically throughout the entire test. And sometimes it was me.
No, I have like, I don't know. There's like I think it's called misophonia. There's some term for it, but I have this thing with sound, sniffing, people keeping their mouth open when they chew, like making like chew noises. Mm. Breathing.
I'm well aware of this.
Yes, I know.
Whenever Zeke and I were hanging out and I was chewing gum, that was always an issue. I would always have to spit my gum out. Also, Zeke and I once went to Colorado, like, in between Deal or No Deal seasons, and I don't know, we were both very sick, or yeah, I was sick.
No, we were both sick.
We were both like, what we would do is we would wake up and then we would DayQuil up to ski, and then we would NyQuil.
Yeah, we would ski all day. We'd be so sick. We'd take NyQuil to go to bed. So
it was like some Wolf of Wall Street stuff.
But the funny thing is like Zeke would be like, "You're sniffling." While he was also, but I remember this. He was also super sniffly too. But he was like, "Hannah, stop sniffling." But it's like we had skied all day, super sick.
I do think it's like Zeke. You sort of said this when you were talking about the. What you love about this episode, and it is like you're seeing, I think there's a reason why when people get married, the vows are like through sickness and in health, where it's, you know, you're seeing the whole package, and part of loving someone is deciding that you're going to be with them when it's, you know, when it's not easy and when their nose is running and it sounds horrible. And I think in this episode, we like get that picture. Like it feels a little bit like it just has to be more intimate because fluids are leaking out of your body, and it's like,
right,
yeah.
I also think I'm realizing now, I won't speak for you, but I will speak for Zeke,
please,
and myself. But I feel like we both probably can relate to Leslie Knope being like, I'm gonna chug through this and like get, I feel like that is like that is the skiing thing, and that is the deal or no deal thing,
stealing everybody else's flu medication in order to make it happen. That's very much, I'm like, I will just take more over the counter supplements. I'll be fine.
Well, I never took DayQuil. You introduced me to DayQuil and NyQuil, and then I realized NyQuil. Oh gosh, every time I would get sick, not obviously the current stuff, but I'd be like, but I would be like, damn it, I'm sick. And then the second thought would be like, I get to take NyQuil.
And I'm gonna a nice long, deep 15 hours.
I'm gonna dream. I am going to dream, and it's gonna be freaky, and I'm gonna remember all of it.
Speaking of remembering all of it, nice, Anna.
Yeah,
jinx.
Speaking of dreams, yeah. Well, we were like speaking of a different dream.
Yeah.
I'll buy you a soda. We watched, like we said, season 3, episode 2, flu season, and we'll jump in. Well, you know, for those you know, Peacock enthusiasts turned Peacock frustrators. Yeah. We did realize that if you have cable, you might be able to hook it up through the Peacock Premium. But if not, we will describe this so accurately, you'll feel like you watched the perfect episode of television.
Yeah.
No pressure to us, but we will.
Everyone among us has a childhood best friend's cousin who's like, mom has a password. So like, reach out to them, do what you have to do. Watch the episode.
Figure out who the rich friend is in your friend group and be like, hey, I need password to Disney Plus and Peacock Premium to Paramount Plus coming March 4th.
Yeah,
to Showtime,
exactly.
To Stars, to Pornhub. Passwords. Give them to
The Office and Parks and Rec, these are human rights. We shouldn't be paying for these things. You know, there should be a small tax.
You heard it here first, Will, who wants to be a TV writer. You should not be paying.
Well, no, would you sort of consider it like a wealth tax? Like, if you have a certain amount of money, you have to pay for these things, and then you subsidize.
That's what Bernie's about.
For other people. Yeah, socialism, which is one of the economic systems not discussed by Ron this episode.
Yeah, communism, big swing and a miss, but we would all be able to watch Peacock
idea that Ron has, over the last few years, Ron Swanson has mellowed out a little bit and like joined a DSA chapter. Like, I'm hoping there's, maybe he's a little flexible now. A real swing left for Ron.
He could be one of those people who, not that Ron Swanson would ever vote for Trump, but you know, there are those people who are like, I voted for Bernie in the primaries and then I voted for Trump in the regular election because they just wanted someone like different. I could see him being like roundaboutly into Bernie.
All right. You heard it here first. I like that. He still has a sign.
We have two main stories. I would say the A story is Leslie Knope, you know, Adam Scott, and trying to, you know, rally to get the Harvest Festival speech given through the flu. And then the B story is probably the April Andy Anne love triangle part 2.
I'd say I'll throw Ron into the mix there. I'll say it's a square.
Yeah, Ron.
There's
Ron's
a love
in that. Yeah,
oh, an Andy saying, Ron love story.
I was thinking Ron and Andy were C story.
I'm gonna pitch my pitch for C is Anne and Chris.
Oh, that's good. You know, I think we almost have like enough for a D and an E story here.
We
really have a lot of going on.
One day we would like to watch an episode that's story. The full alphabet.
The F story is definitely that man that Chris is rooting on in the hospital. That's going to make it, buddy. Go, buddy.
Way to go, buddy.
That's definitely F story. But we can talk about it all at once in one big smush of letters. But yeah, we start with the introduction, which is catastrophe has hit Pawnee. It's flu season.
No one knows how to handle it. It's out of control.
You know, it's very prescient for our current times. Who is left doing the heavy lifting but our underappreciated nurses? And who is being particularly underappreciated this episode is Anne by April.
Yeah, really.
Well, April is still quite angry about Anne and Chris Pratt.
Yes.
That is, I'm trying to make you feel more at home by never using just character names or just that. I'm seeing if I can commit to this.
I did write down all the character names while we were talking, so I have a reference now.
No, I'm going full halvesies on this one. Anne is being tortured by April, essentially, who has the flu and has this button. And, you know, if someone kissed your crush and you were able to torture them and you weren't feeling well, would you, listener, do that? Please comment below.
It does. It is interesting how, like, the, you know, this bug affects different people differently. And April is maybe her truest self, or she's kind of like just pure troll mode in this moment. And I think gives off a vibe of like spooky girl from horror film, you know, like kind of pale, maybe Ring-esque. this is just my reason.
I've always been curious about the makeup to make people look sick. Zeke, I don't know if you have any insight. I know your lover works like as an actor on a TV show, but like, how do they just pat people down with water? Like, what is the, because I always thought like flu makeup is great. I don't know if either of you have insight to this, but I wanted to know.
Well, my guess would be, because like people kind of go pale, so right? So you want a paler, sort of like sickly, ghostly, papery sort of complexion. And then you want red eyes and a red nose. That would be my guess. And like, you know, sort of dark circles under the eyes. Those would be the three main components, the sick makeup.
I just think it's always so well done.
And then I think Jared Leto, you just actually get sick. I think you
a little bit of a heroin bender.
One actor this episode was actually truly sick. Was Amy Poehler still pregnant for this one, Will?
We think she was. Rumor has it.
Okay.
After a cursory Google, yes, absolutely.
But you know, here's the thing. We see Chris Traeger legitimately sick, hallucinating, passing out on the floor. Amy, Leslie, also very sick.
They're our friends.
Same symptoms.
Yeah.
But April, case zero, the Gwyneth Paltrow of the flu season episode, never really seems that sick. She's buzzing her button. She's throwing her blankets on the floor.
She's energized by the opportunity to torture, you know, Anne, who has kissed her one true love.
All right, fair enough. I'm just saying she's in like a private room and taking up valuable hospital resources when she could just be at home and suffering.
Here's my pitch maybe is that April, actually, her harvest festival is torturing Anne. Like, the thing that's giving her purpose and meaning and getting her through this. I think her Michael Jordan playing with the flu is, like, being a real tool to Anne.
You got it, Anne, Will. You got it. You came in with the story saved.
All right.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
You ask a question, it is answered. That's what you can get here at Pawnee Public Radio. We start with Leslie. You know, she's exhibiting some allergies while collecting signatures and getting businesses to come together for the Harvest Festival at JJ's Diner. I love the way she's like, yeah, I mean, I just have some allergies. I've thrown up like seven times today.
This made me miss diners. It made me miss the feeling of being like a regular. I just think that's because we know that she has spent over $1,000 on waffles at JJ's Diner.
Waffles alone.
And, I was just about to ask that. Will, have you ever spent $1,000 on waffles at any singular institution within a calendar year?
Within a calendar year. I'm pretty bad with money, so maybe ballpark. Like, whatever $1,000 is for Leslie, I've probably spent the equivalent of that on... I feel like I go through little kicks where I'll be like, I like this one little sweet bun, and my thing is eating this sweet bun every morning.
Yeah,
I think my equivalent is pre-pandemic by Ralph's Starbucks. I just knew everybody. Like, they always had my grande iced blonde latte ready. And now I got an espresso machine. I'm saving thousands. And, but I did. I was always gold on my little Starbucks app. And I got sad for real for a second.
Oh, no. All right.
We got to go back to JJ's.
Back to JJ's.
We're in JJ's. It's just the flu. Yeah, so, you know, she's collecting signatures, and she's clearly not feeling well.
Mm-hmm. And the people around her are wising up. And this feels like this is a rare thing. Like, this is out of character for Leslie. And Ben and Tom decide to kind of, that they should take this on. Well, no, there's that great scene where Leslie's in her office, and there's the reveal that everyone else has, like, a glass partition, like...
she's
quarantining in her office. That's what they say. I mean, we have to remember this last episode. If the Harvest Festival doesn't succeed, the Parks Department will be eliminated. Like, those are the stakes. And it's her one true love is the Parks Department. It is not justifying anything. I'm just saying.
So Leslie's preparing for a speech at the Chamber of Commerce for the Harvest Festival. And I think what cues off Chris and Ben that something is wrong. Is that she refers to it as the Chamber of Secrets.
Yes, that is one of the
big laugh.
The
hits. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I just love, we need to take you to a doctor when Ben touches her forehead and she goes, and he asks her who her doctor is, and she goes, Anne, and she's the most beautiful nurse around or something. It's just such a good line. Oh, she just relies on Anne for everything. So they whisk her away to the hospital.
Yes.
But before this happens, I know I'm jumping around a little. Chris does visit Anne in the hospital. We talked about this at the beginning of the pod.
And he's wearing a mask over both his mouth and his nose.
Yeah, it's easy. It's been easy for at least 10 years. The episode came out originally. And it's a little bit, he's played off as it being, I mean, this is like an excellent PSA, I feel like, because he is taking precautions and he's being really safe. And he should be, because it's a bad flu. This one little snippet is a good PSA. The rest of the episode, maybe.
Not so much. We sort of get one little mask sequence.
One little mask sequence, yeah.
And he does ultimately get sick, so maybe.
Well, he ultimately gets sick when he doesn't wear a mask.
That's true, because he walks into Leslie's office, and she is...
I Anne often straight mans everyone else, but I really like her intimidation. She's been on a couple dates with Chris and is just so intimidated by him being so perfect. And her lines, I think, are really funny this episode. Like, he says that he, like, his perfect microchip can't be compromised. And she goes, I'm like a chip, a potato chip. Like, she's just so awkward. I think it's great.
Yeah, I've been looking to find a flaw in Chris, but I can't. One time I thought he farted, but it was me.
It's so good.
I think what this show does so well, and like what, especially starting a season, I just think this is a bold second episode to kind of just throw these characters into this, like pulling the rug out from all of them. You know, if like people get sick, they can't be the people that we expect them to be or they expect themselves to be. Yeah, I think that's one of the reasons that
this is such a popular episode that they will have a flu season two in a later season.
Oh yes.
There is the return of the flu season. Meanwhile, though, with April in the hospital torturing Anne, Ron needs a new assistant, and I love that he's like, April's perfect. She's just, you know, aggressively like hangs up the phone and also like, wait, what is his exact words? He goes, someone, come on, exact line.
I didn't write this one down.
Photographic memory, who's got one? But it's that like she's both, yeah.
Yeah, like aggressively apathetic
and aggressive
and mean,
at the same time. Yeah. And he's like, who could replace her and be just as, you know, incompetent? And he finds Andy to
and
be
we
the perfect
cut to
person.
Andy at the shoe sign station, who is, had just discovered the thing that the rest of us discovered when we were 4 years old, which is that you can interlock plastic straws together, though you shouldn't be using plastic straws. I've got a silicone one right here.
Mm-hmm.
But regardless, interlocking plastic straws to make a really, really long straw to like drink a slushy from 5 feet away.
I love the hiring of Andy for the day. Like, I think this is one of my favorite exchanges where like Andy's one thing is like, can I have my shirt untucked? And then he asks where April is. Ron's like, she took the day off because April specifically was like, don't tell Andy where I am. And Andy goes, would it be too soon for me to get the day off? It's one day. And I just think Andy is just like, not great. Up until this point, the way Andy's gotten work is just Leslie hires him for everything. That's like the only way he's able to work.
Yeah. Turns out. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Take it. Please. You're our guest.
Oh, no. I was just going to say, it turns out Ron and Andy make a cute little couple.
Really cute.
Because, you know, Ron doesn't feel like there are really like other macho men in the office. And I would say like, that's an accurate assessment of what's happening in that office. But they get to be like, they get to be boys together. And Andy teaches Ron about ethnic food, i.e. burritos. they get to play football together. And they talk about old players on the Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah, it's just a really delightful bonding montage that is sprinkled throughout the entire episode of just like two big guys.
And Nick Offerman, when they're throwing a football and, you know, like Andy spins over a car and the alarm goes off and Nick Offerman giggling and running after Andy being like, wait up, Andy, is just so cute.
I think we get a lot of, I keep coming, I'll let it go. Laugh. I'll let it go after this, but I think we get so many like the core of a character in this. Like, I think the flu like strips away people's defenses and we see that. I think with Ron, we also get, you know, he like kind of plays this curmudgeonly boss, but it's just so fun to watch him just goof around, yeah. Like just play. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like Ron is finally put in a situation where he's with someone who gets him, with whom he can identify. Mm-hmm. And that just, it opens up a whole new Ron world. We get to see this childlike character go playing.
But I also think it's incredibly, oh, sorry. I just think it's incredibly sweet that we start the episode with him bringing April women's stuff, like magazines and lip gloss, because April is sort of his pseudo daughter in a way. And then we get him bonding with the guy that she's in love with. And so we kind of get him meeting his daughter's boyfriend almost. That's what it feels like to me.
Oh, totally. I never thought of it through that angle, but that's exactly what's happening story-wise. Dad's meeting the boyfriend and they have they hit it off.
They like each other. I love when Andy is learning like about politics from Ron and remembers religious oligarchy and Ron just goes, holy fuck. We get two swears this episode. Yeah,
they are grilling bacon and burgers inside
in
Ron's
the
office.
While drinking.
While drinking, yes. Have your liquor after your open flames. That's my rule.
Yeah. Good rule. I think, to skip ahead too, we get like Ron, like I feel like Ron's version of Chris's fear of getting sick is like opening up emotionally in any way. And he's also forced to like do that in this episode. Like, I think everyone has to face their fear. Yeah.
Yes. He's like an emotional microchip. And if you if you crack him open, even just a teensy bit with a little bit of sand, he goes completely haywire, which is when he falls in love, even with the Tammies.
Yeah.
And he goes completely one way or the other.
I might be making this up. So if you're super offended by this, just skip over it. But wasn't like Ron the character you related to the most, Zeke? I feel like a long time ago you were like, I'm Ron Swanson.
Oh, very much. I used to be very much a Ron Swanson who was emotionally repressed and sort of a curmudgeon. But you know what? After Deal or No Deal, I had to go to all this therapy. And now I'm an emotional open book. I'm more of a Leslie Knope than a Ron Swanson.
Oh, I love that journey for you. I love all the love stories. My favorite, obviously, love story is, you know, the character that, you know, is sort of my type in real life as well, which is Ben. I feel like this is the episode, we've seen hints of it, but this is the episode that Ben falls in love with Leslie as well. Because, like, fully, not as well, fully falls in love with her because we have Leslie is now in the hospital. And she wants to go give this presentation. So she steals all the flu medicine from Anne and Chris and makes it to the Harvest Festival presentation.
Yes.
If I've skipped around to too much, just
no,
knock me out.
The only thing we really missed is that Tom's idea of working on the Harvest Festival is that he's going to go to Spawnee and be the little spicy little brown guy to be. the like quartet of old white dudes hanging out in the hot tub.
Him playing Would You Rather with these old guys is one of my just like favorite ideas. Like I just feels like a perfect like I imagine a writer's room, a group of writers, like a whiteboard. That's the only pitch, and everyone just stops coming up with ideas. They're just like, I think they play Would You Rather, and people are like, yeah, all right, let's lock it in. It's just so delightful to me.
I guess I also skipped over Leslie calling Ben first and Ben giving the presentation and her wanting him to do a musical number or rap and deciding he's too white to do that. And I know I said this while we were watching. I just wish this ended with Leslie Knope giving the presentation as a rap.
Yeah.
This is my one note for an otherwise perfect episode.
Yeah. But we do have a really, really cute button that I bet back in the writer's room, there was a debate between, do we have the cute little button of like Chris and Ben deciding to stay longer so they can pursue their love? Or do we have Leslie Knope rap? Doesn't Leslie rap at some point? Surely.
Like, sure.
She does. When she's running for office, she gets very excited about the situation and she does start not rapping, breakdancing.
Mm.
There you go.
We do have a classic, I believe it's a GIF. But yeah, so Leslie shows up at the Harvest Festival presentation,
and she finds
very much intoxicated on flu medicine. And I love when Amy Poehler plays drunk, and this is a version of it that's even nuttier.
Yes. She shows up, she finds Ben, and she needs money for her cab. How much? She doesn't know because the meter was reading out in Egyptian hieroglyphics, and she doesn't know the exchange rate.
It's real.
And really I love good. She
it
turns
feels this like she out. Is the episode. Go ahead, sorry, Anna.
No, she also immediately starts giving her presentation to a poster. Like she turns to the wall and starts speaking. She also says that the wall. There are a couple beats of this. She also says the floor. She goes, "Be careful."
Yes.
The floor and the ceiling just switch places. Like stop. That's where her head is at. That's how drunk on flu medicine she is. Like, she is not.
And just to rehash, because these are some of my favorite lines, we've got, be careful. The floor and the wall just switch. And then she sort of, like, lightly tiptoes, very cautious. And Ben's like, really, Leslie, can you do this? And she goes, yes, like, Ben, I got this. And she turns around to a wall and says, good evening, everyone. I'm Leslie Monster, and this is Nightline.
So funny. Also, the clear difference between someone who takes notes and someone who vaguely tries to remember the moments.
Yeah, you're in, Zeke.
What happens to that note? I also, in the same way that I relate to Leslie Knope showing up and trying to push through sickness, I very much relate to, like, I'm not a very good sick person. Like, the last time I was sick was at the beginning of 2020, and I just like was weeping on the phone to my parents, being like, it hurts so bad.
Speaking of, have any of y'all actually had the flu,
like in life?
Yeah, like had the flu.
Yeah, I've had the flu before, I think. Yeah,
have you, Will?
That's a good question. I think I have always called it a cold. I don't think I've ever owned it.
He's had allergies where he just throws up a bunch.
Yeah,
have you had the flu, Zeke?
So, well, I have because I usually get, So I have like a couple of weird things. Like I don't have any wisdom teeth, not because they were removed. Like I just don't have wisdom teeth. And I have an extra sinus cavity, which because it's not supposed to be there, it doesn't have a proper place to drain. So it gets infected and I get sinus infections every year. So I know what for regular people probably should be a cold. For me, like it turns to something I need antibiotics for. So I know what a sinus infection feels like, which is a lot of like face pressure and drainage and sore throats and runny nose and stuff. And every year I get a flu shot. But one year I did. I was in New York and I was living alone and I got the flu and I thought I was going to die because it was, I would go from being so hot that I couldn't have, like, and it was winter. I'd be going so hot that I would like get naked and stand in front of an open window to going so cold that I would have to put on like every piece of clothing that I owned and like get under all of the blankets. But in between those vacillations of temperature, my body would hurt so much that I would just be paralyzed in bed. And it got to a point where I couldn't like put on clothes or take off of clothes. Like I couldn't help myself to get warmer or cooler. And I did. I like didn't know what I was going to do with myself because I didn't have any family or friends in the immediate area that could come over. It was really bad. It really sucked. So get your flu shot, everyone.
Yeah, you, speaking of really sucked, I just remembered I had, I think I was studying abroad in Costa Rica one summer, and like 3 days before I got mono, somehow. Ooh. And I think
you
also,
were kissing.
I kissed someone and I got mono.
Do you kiss boys, got, like, girls, or both?
Oh, good question. I so far have kissed girls in both. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just curious. I don't know.
No, it's a good question.
Just meeting each other.
This always happens right smack dab in the middle of a podcast. We like what, to kind of.
What happened with mono, though?
Oh, thank you. I got mono, and then my body got covered in all these tiny little red dots that were never fully diagnosed. But when I landed in Costa Rica, I was staying with. I had like a host family situation, and there were two Honduran young women from Honduras who were studying to be doctors, and they both like prescribed, they both like looked at my little red dots and suggested two different kinds of drugs and just gave them to me. And I took both of them and I got better. But I don't know, my Spanish wasn't good enough to know what happened to me.
I feel like my weird, scary, like, sick experience of this flavor was when I was in Cuba studying abroad. I got a nosebleed. And, like, I've always had bloody noses, like, in my life. To the point where I was like, I'm just going to go under the knife. I'm going to come out with a tiny little nose, and it's never going to bleed again. But it was bleeding, and then it just didn't stop. Like, it didn't stop. So I ended up in a Cuban hospital, but, like, not the tourist hospital for some reason, with all these doctors shouting at me in Spanish. And then I got a shot in my butt, and the blood stopped. So I don't know what they did, but...
I'll take one of those. That sounds like a good shot to have around.
Just one of those old butt shots. Yeah.
So we've all been sick, right?
So we get this episode. We can bond over it. Our bodies have gone through things.
Good question, Zeke. We're all human. We're not perfect.
No, I'm just curious.
Yeah, No, it really is. No, that's fair. I think it's a great equalizer. And everyone experiences it differently.
Yeah. But we return to the Chamber of Secrets. Where Leslie has insisted on giving her speech. And she's been sewn up all the entire episode. We're all just like waiting for her to flub this and go crazy.
Uh-oh, spaghetti.
Ruin everything. But she doesn't. She comes through. She gives a killer, rousing speech. Everyone thinks it's wonderful.
And Ben falls in love with her as she speaks.
Yes. Ben falls in love with her. And in doing, he describes his admiration for her using a couple of sports references. And I just want to make sure.
Michael Jordan.
Will and
yes,
Hannah
I've seen
okay
the Michael Jordan.
Him.
No, I watched the whole Michael Jordan series. I really feel 30? Like I know Jordan. Also, yes. Also, my first ever shoes were little Chicago Bulls shoes.
Oh,
So I feel like that one I got. The second one was a baseball one, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, it was a guy who got hit earlier in the game and he was sort of had a hobble.
What was his name?
I forget.
Will, what was his name?
Dykel Gordon.
Dykel Gordon. Zeke's going to actually find it. I feel like he's looking for it.
I'm actually going to look up an equivalent one that was not.
I'm going to see what it is because I'm now curious.
Serena Williams winning while pregnant, right? What is it? The Australian Open?
Wait, she won something while pregnant?
No, I was going to say Carrie Strug coming through for the U.S. Women's Olympic gymnastic team in 1996 in Atlanta, where she sprained her ankle, but she needed one last vault to push the USA over the top and finally beat the Russians. And she did it.
I feel like you don't know
the Carrie Strug reference?
I don't know that, but I'm glad that I do.
How old are you, Will?
I'm
Kirk Gibson.
I'm 29 years old.
Hmm.
And I'm 28.
And I'll kiss anyone, Zeke. I'm 29 and I'll kiss anyone.
I need your height, weight, and your hair color. You're wearing a hat, Nancy. If you want to be inspired, I'm going to send you this because it's an incredible feat of athleticism.
Here's what we'll do. I'll tweet it out too. So if you're listening and you're curious what Will's talking about, I'm going to tweet out this incredible feat of athleticism.
I also think this moment is funny in the new thing that Parks and Rec grew into, where it's like the humor comes from how competent Leslie is. Like
he goes, it was Leslie Knope.
Yeah.
And it's just a moment where he's like fully in love.
Like there's, when we watch this show, I feel like sometimes we talk about, you know, thinking about it from like a writing perspective. And I do think there's, it's just so easy to imagine writing an episode of someone like everything going wrong during this presentation. Like I kind of think it's, I don't know. It's just, it's still, even though I knew what to expect, it was a nice, it's always just a nice surprise. I mean, it is, it's all those sports references that Ben mentions. It's Carrie.
And also once she nails it, she starts to take questions. That's when the flu comes back. Everyone looks swirly. And then Ben comes back. She goes,
Scott Bakula from Quantum Leap, everyone.
Yes. Oh my God. It's just so funny.
I was going to say, then we go back to the hospital.
Yeah. But where Anne, her shift has ended.
Thank goodness.
And she lets April have it. Kindly.
She does.
And it's the most April like.
Yeah. And that's how you earn April's respect, is you read her for filth. But then we go and we check on Chris Traeger, who is in a bad way. The microchip has been compromised. He is losing fluids. He needs to be replenished with electrolytes. And we know he's losing fluids because he delivers one of my favorite lines in all of television, which is, stop pooping.
It's a great line. So
I feel like that's the... I hope that was like what he auditioned with. Like, I hope, you know, they like got a read on all the characters, like all the actors who came in. They're like, but you have to be able to deliver this fully earnestly.
Well, it's also so Chris Traeger, right? Who like very much believes in human potential and who like, he believes that if he focuses hard enough, he can convince his body to stop being sick.
And to stop aging, eventually it becomes his character's sort of like unraveling.
Oh yeah.
He realizes he's getting older and that's when he starts going to therapy and we unravel this character.
Well, he wants to be the first human to live to 150 years old.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, if you're a comedy character and you start with it all together, at some point it's gonna all fall apart. That's just the rule. We also get the morning after the Chamber of Secrets, where Ben brings Leslie waffles and his homemade chicken soup.
Which Leslie's not
super interested in.
She wants waffles.
And this,
you know what? She wants the waffles. And he keeps throwing the chicken soup out. She, well, I like, think, at her.
You know, Leslie has sort of had a thing for Ben. And I think Ben is trying to be like, look, like I made chicken soup for you. Like I did this to sort of like in my nerdy way, because I can't quite say it yet, to show you that I like you. And she just is not, it does not enter.
It's not, she doesn't calculate it. This is really the dream. Is a nerd bringing you chicken soup? Is this not everyone's dream? Okay, we can move on to the other end of the love story, which is Andy gets Ron basically to tell him where April is. They have their father-son moment of hugging. And, you know, Andy forces himself onto Ron and goes to April. I love it. The intent is this big romantic gesture. He's going to, you know, sit by her hospital bed, wait for her to wake up, and then realizes that could take forever. So he kisses her on the forehead, and that's all slimy and gross. I just love, he's just, he's a puppy dog. He reacts to every change in the plan, but she opens her eyes. She's heard the whole thing. She knew he came to visit him.
She was asleep the whole time. It was all a dream.
Where is Eduardo in this moment? Where is Eduardo?
Her ex-boyfriend from Argentina.
Her current boyfriend. They're still dating. They will be dating for a few more episodes.
I broke them up in my head already. Yeah, it doesn't seem like... He certainly doesn't bring her anything.
Is he back in Argentina? Like, where the heck is he?
Is someone looking after him? Is he good to, like, take care of himself?
Is he all right?
I don't know, yeah.
Does he have the flu? Is he sitting on a sidewalk somewhere with the flu? I'm worried about Eduardo. Yeah. We have one more button scene.
Our button scene is very cute. Chris and Ben are together. Everyone's sort of healthy and over the flu. And I guess Chris got word from the state government that there is another job potentially for them to go do somewhere else. But then Chris and Ben agree that they want to delay and ask for an extension on the Pawnee project, because they don't say it, but we know they both love their ladies. They got love interests. They don't want to leave.
And that's the end of the flu season.
Happy.
Everyone will be healthy for the rest of the season.
One question.
Yeah.
Sure.
Was I wearing a tiara when I came in? Because if you happen upon it, will you have Lady Pennyface retrieve it and send it post-hence?
Post-haste. It sounds like a Bridgerton reference way before its time. What a truly fantastic episode of television. Like this, when the podcast started and I was like, I rewatch Parks and Rec in order to feel comforted. This is what it is, you know?
Yeah. I guess like my another question that I just kind of end the episode with is, I mean, would you rather be 100 feet tall or would you rather be five inches big?
I'm going to go with 5 inches big.
Oh, I forgot to tell you though, you're 100 feet wide. I could sit. I mean, I think comedians and guys getting coffee, fine. Give me Tom Haverford in a hot tub with five normal old white men. Spinoff.
Spawny. Yeah, the spinoff is Spawny. You feel that warmth of going through a Parks and Rec episode and getting to live in that. I would love to introduce you to some of our townspeople.
Great.
If you're interested in meeting them.
I would
love
to, yeah.
If you want to reach us, go to speakpipe.com/Pawnee Public Radio. We're going to listen to some voicemails. We can keep talking about the episode too.
Great.
And keep sharing our thoughts. But, our first voicemail is number 169.
Yeah.
Really dirty of you. It's Will from Australia.
Hi, this is Will from Australia. Long-time listener, first-time caller. And the only reason I haven't called in yet is because I wasn't sure if people with the same names as the podcast host were allowed to call in to, like, that podcast, and I didn't want to, like, get arrested. But I think I'm going to try now. This episode was amazing, of course, and obviously super timely. And I have kind of, like, a semi-serious question, so if everyone in the podcast is, like, in a positive mood, then, like, maybe scratch this one. But I was just wondering, how do you think this episode would be shot post-COVID? Just, like, as I was watching, I thought it was interesting how, like, how, like, what Leslie does in this episode, like, it's seen in a really positive light. Like the audience, like, was supposed to, like, respect her. Like, you know, we're supposed to, like, laugh, but respect her for, like, going to work sick and going to the presentation while she's sick. But I feel like in our post-COVID, life, it seems kind of, like, irresponsible and dangerous for her to, like, normally go to crowded events sick, and, like it isn't, like, seen as positively. So I don't know, I just thought that was interesting. I was wondering if you guys had, like, any thoughts on how, like, this episode, on how episodes like this, where characters get sick, like, how they're going to be shot post-COVID, or if, like, all TV shows would just, like, pretend that sickness doesn't exist because it's too upsetting. I'd love to hear your thoughts. Love the podcast and love you guys. See ya.
Thanks, Will, from Australia.
Hi, Will.
Guys, no one ever says thank you to me. Ugh. Trouble in paradise. Oh, man. all worlds are welcome.
We touched on this. Actually, we sort of came upon this organically earlier in the episode, but Will from Australia is asking another question, like, how would this... Here's the thing. The way that we're going to do, at least for the next, like, 5 years to a decade after, like, COVID subsides, the way that this is going to be shot is in the really obnoxious way where the person has to zoom in. So we're trying to, like, keep a person, you know, looped in via Zoom. And I don't think we need, I think we have enough Zoom in our lives where we don't need to have Zoom in television shows ever again. But hey, that's the new normal. That's my opinion.
Yeah, no, I think like this, yeah, the sickness, like the fact that it's the flu didn't bump as much for me as what Will from Australia is describing of, like, Leslie, you know, it's sort of presented as her doing whatever she can to accomplish her goals without acknowledging, like, she could get other people sick. Like, that is sort of just a joke, I think.
Well, right, but they're also living in the before times when, like, sure, people got the flu and people died from the flu, but you didn't feel like you were contributing to a worldwide pandemic that was destroying economies and lives by going and getting other people sick. You know what I mean?
Right.
Consequences went from, like, 10 to 100.
Yeah.
And again, props to Chris Traeger for being on ahead of the trend of promoting mask safety.
Yeah, mask up.
Thank you, Will, for calling. I feel like they covered it. But if they didn't, call us back from Australia. How is it down under? Can you swim to New Zealand, where they do not have COVID currently? And Jacinda, the coolest freaking leader, is in charge. I think it's going to... I will see how all media is affected story-wise by these traumatic years. I think it's going to be... something.
I don't watch This Is Us or Grey's Anatomy, but I feel like they both had I just said I don't watch either of these two things. So
yeah, it's hard. I feel like I only because I was like, the last thing I wanted to do right now is watch a show that was showing COVID. Mm-hmm. Only because I was so craving escapism. No shots at Grey's Anatomy. There was a Deal or No Deal contestant who's, you know, into the conspiracy theories. And at the end of the Grey's Anatomy episode, it was like, these are fictionalized portrayals. And she circled it and was like, aha, it's fictionalized. I won't name names, but... yeah, I think it's wild how storytelling is going to interact with that subset of the population as well. But on that note, let's get to our next voicemail. Number 170, Sarah, no H.
Hi, Hannah, Will, and Zeke. So fun to have you on the podcast this week. After watching Flu Season, it really made me think about the people of Pawnee and how they would handle a pandemic. How do you think the people of Pawnee would be handling this COVID crisis right now, and what would Leslie and the Parks Department do to try to support them? Love you guys. Bye.
Definitely poor.
Yeah, Connie's not handling this well.
Not well.
I think we're gonna have, like, Jason Mantzoukas, the perfume cologne guy.
Yeah,
he's gonna be like
Dennis Feinstein.
Yeah, Dennis Feinstein is gonna be selling some sort of, like, perfume that he argues, like, you know, will save you from COVID if you spray it in your mouth, right? That's gonna be just like aerosolized bleach. You know, the Sweetums Corporation is going to be telling you that COVID doesn't exist, or that you can solve COVID by drinking, you know, eating more candy, or, you know, going to the burger place or what have you. Yeah, I don't think Pawnee is going to fare very well, especially with its, you know, noted obesity rate. I think we could potentially lose half of Pawnee in the pandemic.
Well, yeah.
Well, they did have that reunion episode where they had some clues about how things were going.
Well, I think I was kind of thinking about this with Will from Australia's question and with Sarah's question, where this idea of like a thing that we love about Leslie is that she takes responsibility for herself and for the whole town. Like, she feels the weight of things going well and she takes responsibility. And I wonder if, like, in this, you know, an episode of like this real world, actually very, very scary thing, I wonder if instead of in flu season, we see Leslie taking responsibility for herself, but being irresponsible to the people around her. I think there's also a funny way of seeing someone learn how to, like, take responsibility in kind of a collective action way. That's not a funny answer, but that's how I'm feeling right now of thinking about being responsible, not as like a big heroic gesture, you know, of like winning the game or having this big impressive thing happen, but thinking about responsibility as like, this also doesn't make good TV. But like being responsible in a kind of boring everyday little way. That's the episode that I submit for my spec script. That is,
and it's a 3-hour movie. Yeah. Thank you so much, Sarah, for calling in. Our next caller is one of our Connors, number 171, Connor Young.
Hey, Hannah, Will, and Zeke. This is Connor Young calling in from Dallas. I feel like this week's episode of Parks and Recs is kind of a landmark for the show. We have that infamous network connectivity problems line that's all over the internet. We have a flu/COVID type thing happening that really parallels our modern society. And then for the show in general, we have the Harvest Festival, a little bit of action between Ben and Leslie, and then ultimately Ben and Chris deciding to stay in the town, which really sets up the next few seasons. I just feel like this episode, even though it's number 2, was more important than number 1 and really getting the show on track for what it's going to be for the next few seasons. I'd love to hear your thoughts about all of this. Thank you.
Thank you for, we forgot the famous Chris Pratt improvisation.
Yeah, I was about to say that line is improvised.
We have it's completely improvised. I just looked up your symptoms and it says you have network connectivity problems. He famously improvised it. Famously.
Maybe there's something to improv after all. Let's give it another shot.
Oh, boy.
Guys, are we going to start a Herald team?
We just the need 6 more men.
That is too real.
Sorry, Anna. I apologize for all of them.
No, I just had a flashback to the certain Herald team I was on. That was 7 white straight men and 2 of us ladies, and none of those, half of those boys were not happy that I moved to the main stage before them. And look at us all now. The theater is shut down.
Improv is dead.
I think Connor.
I just think of all the people who backstabbed and cutthroated their way to a Herald team who are now successfully on a Herald team. Just
wonderful.
It's gone.
No, so Connor, I agree with you. Big up. I think also fun to think of it as like, this is fun in a way that maybe the season premiere, like this is even more fun than that. I think some of that is just like, you know, it's a new, not to get super defensive, but like in the first episode we have, you know, it's a new season. We have these new characters. Here's the world. And it absolutely to me feels like, I think you're totally right. Flu season, they like just play. They like have their sandbox full of characters and they just like dump everything out. You know, they like mix it up and see where everyone falls. And it's, yeah, super fun. I dig it.
Thank you for calling in, Connor, giving Zeke a taste of the Connor Club. Our next voicemail, I have not pre-listened to my parents' voicemails again, is from number 172, who I believe is my mother, Anonymous.
Hi, Hannah. Hi, Will. And hi, Zeke. Always great to have a podcast guest from the tribe on Deal and No Deal. Anyway, I really like this episode. I think my favorite part is the whole interaction with Ron and Andy, the all beef nacho or whatever they called it. That was just fantastic. Their scenes together were so great. I'm curious as to what your favorite part is. The other thing I liked, of course, is when April is really awake when Andy is saying how much he likes her, and she just smiles. Anyway, what a great episode, and what a great episode to have someone from the game show as a co-host. Bye-bye.
Yay, Deal or No Deal co-host. Yeah. Favorite scene. I know, Will, I mean, I know, Zeke, yours is stop pooping, probably.
Well, but if we want to just narrow it down to the Ron and Andy that Anonymous enjoyed so much. and the meat tornado. I think it's called the meat tornado. I think we sort of hit on it, which is to see how giddy and gleeful that Andy can make Ron.
Nick Offerman.
Yeah. And when Ron is like running around, running away, giggling with his arms, like, you know, 3 feet away from his body.
Oh man. I love all of it. I have a soft spot for the Ben starting to thaw storyline. You know, his heart melting. It's a real Grinch meets a little girl and then believes in Christmas type of deal. Oh no, wait, that doesn't make sense, because he falls in love with the little girl. That's too weird. I love a Ben and Leslie love story.
Really, your mom asked for our favorite lines, and I wonder if we can really, we all are a huge fan of the line stop pooping. If you had to pick, is it the stop or is it the pooping for you? You know, if we're like, as writers, I know, Zeke, you're a writer.
You had to wear a hat, one of them on it, and the other person had to wear a different hat. Who would get which hat?
Oh, I think stop.
Yeah. Yeah, because I think you're right.
That encapsulate the essence of the idea of that Chris thinks he can will himself to stop having the blue.
And the shot is also him looking in the mirror.
Oh, yeah, we got a deep close-up.
Our last voicemail, thanks Mom for calling in, love you. Our last voicemail is from Sports Guy's dad. It's my dad. I have not listened. Hopefully Zeke can help with the sports this time, because usually we are a baseball without a boat. So let's listen to number 174, Anonymous.
Hello, Zeke and Hannah and Will. Sports Guy Dad here. So pleased that Zeke, somebody who actually knows something about sports, is there. So before I get into the hardcore stuff and last week's issues, Zeke can get a free question. Who's the best quarterback to come out of Oklahoma in the last 10 years? Three pretty good choices. Anyway, the answer to the Tom Brady Buffalo Bills question, Will was onto something. If Tom Brady had lost the Super Bowl, which of course he didn't, he would have lost four Super Bowls, just like the Buffalo Bills, who also have been in and lost four Super Bowls. Great show this week. Another sports show following up on Andy and Ron being basketball coaches and Tom being a referee. This week, someone notes that Leslie's performance reminded them of Michael Jordan's performance in the flu game. I'm sure that Zeke can fill you in on what Michael Jordan's flu game was. Talk to you soon.
Yay, we got Sports Guy Dad, and we got a special question for Will. Yeah, let's best quarterback to come out of the Oklahoma football.
I can't answer that one, Zeke. I'm gonna pass it to you.
I feel like my dad said there's three. Zeke, correct me if I'm wrong. Two of the possibilities of the three are probably Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray. Yep. And I don't know who the third one he's talking about.
The third one's Jalen Hurts. And I think many listeners might find it controversial to consider him an Oklahoma quarterback, since he did spend the bulk of his career at Alabama, including playing, you know, in a couple of national championships and playoff games.
He just moved his senior year, right?
Yeah.
Listen, I know all this stuff because there is a member of our Deal or No Deal cast who would invite, I just want to clarify, would invite everyone to Oklahoma to watch a football game. And I didn't get invited. And in very Leslie Knope fashion, I decided I'm going to watch a bunch of Oklahoma football games the next season and just sprinkle facts. And this is all pre-pandemic, but I did get in an Uber with two members from our Deal or No Deal cast. And I talked Oklahoma college football with the Uber driver for 45 minutes. And they were so shocked that it got passed along to our friend who then invited me on the football trip. So, well,
and also, don't you feel like your life is enriched by watching Sooner football? I mean, I know my life's better.
They won so many Heisman trophies in a row. It was crazy. I was like, is this normal?
Nope.
Anyways, who is the top one of those three?
Well, so
you can answer. I just wanted to.
No tea, no shade against Jalen Hurts, who plays for Philadelphia now. But for me, it comes down between Baker and Tyler. And Baker had multiple years of being the OU starting quarterback, whereas Tyler only had his senior year because he was behind Baker. And this is like a Sophie's choice for me, because while I personally love Baker, because I've known Baker for a little bit longer, I've got a Baker Mayfield Browns jersey in my closet over there.
He now plays for Ohio,
right? He plays for Cleveland. That's correct.
Yes.
And, Kyler now plays for, the Arizona Cardinals. You know, I think Kyler is potentially a better quarterback than Baker. He just hasn't had all the hype and the opportunities that Baker has had. But in my heart, Baker is number one. But Kyler is a very, very close number two.
Wow, there you go. Kyler, if you are listening, you are second place in Zeke's heart. It's okay. Sometimes Zeke's second place is actually the better person. There you go, Sports Guy Dad. And yes, Tom Brady, obviously my guess that he was going to win, because if I knew anything, it's that when I watch Tom Brady in the football game, no matter how old he is, he tends to get the football across the line. So I like how I just realized I went from very specific OU things I knew to like
out of yourself as someone who isn't as like bumbling about football as you pretend to be.
It's true. I'm not bumbling about football. I know just like random things, and I don't know what to do with the knowledge other than like impress Uber drivers and like.
Good. I have a Michael Jordan question.
Yeah, go for it.
Round out. Is it?
Yeah.
Is he? did he have the flu or was he just hungover? Is the jury still out or what do we know? Real flu, just hungover. Combo? Talk to me.
I believe he had the flu. I think he was like dehydrated and delirious, and it really is sort of like one of his epic moments that he was able to fight through that and win. Because you know, you see him like staggering around on the court in a way that's not like, oh, he's like drunk or he's like hungover and not happy to be there. And at least, you know, here's the thing. We'll never really know. And we can either choose to have heroes and keep our heroes heroic, or we can tear them down. And I'm a believer in having heroes, provided they didn't do anything like super monstrous, which we have no evidence that Michael Jordan, you know, touched or hurt someone in any sort of like non-consensual way. He does not appear to be a racist or an anti-Semite. Right, like Michael Jordan, he's an incredible basketball player, and let's just like have him as a god and put him in our little pantheon and not try to bring him down, right?
His documentary was followed up by the Lance Armstrong documentary. So, and again, I'm not, this is no shade towards Mr. Lance, but there was a clear difference. And then we have the Michael Jordan, and of course, Dad didn't even mention the Kirk Gibson. So Kirk, you're really getting the short end of the mentioning stick. But
I mean, Carrie Strug didn't even make the episode, and she so deserves it.
We made a lot of jokes. I'm so looking forward to
Me too.
I'll I'm just going to start crying.
Once we get off, I'll get a clip and I'll send it to you.
Can I just
Dad, thanks for calling.
No, I'm out of line. I just wanted to put the image in the head. Remember that clip of the guy who's running and he pulls a hamstring and his dad jumps down and helps him across the finish line? Have you guys seen that? He's running.
Yeah, I not recently, but I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Let's all just ruminate on that, have a good cry, and move on.
Okay. Dad, thank you so much for calling in. While we do have emails, we are going to save them for next week and not bog Zeke down with reading. But we will do... That's the real reveal of this podcast. It was all leading to this. We will do one 5-star review. We usually have our guest read the single 5-star review.
Okay. 5-star review. 25 million candles in the wind. 5,000 times better than 5,000 candles in the wind. If little Sebastian was still alive, he'd give this podcast 5 stars. That's a very high compliment, as any Pawnean knows.
Aw, thank you. Who wrote the review? What's the name of the...
Anonymous 0373-8226.
Oh, yeah.
Well, thank you, Anonymous 038.
That's a different Anonymous, actually, but they're all big fans.
I really wanted to name who it was, but they clearly want us to remain anonymous.
Yeah. Even with their...
Please leave us 5-star... yeah, thank you so much. I keep calling Zeke, Will, my brain. Throughout the podcast, you guys have just melded together into one great co-host.
That's an enormous compliment.
I love Parks and Rec. I love it when I'm in the dentist chair. My dentist has a TV on the ceiling, Will Zeke, and I just watch Parks and Rec sometimes while my teeth get cleaned.
Do you ever sometimes, though, feel like when you're watching Parks and Rec, you're like, teeth start hurting? Like, does it ever work the opposite way, like a Pavlovian thing?
Don't put that into the universe.
I'm sick.
Come on.
I'm a sick man.
Zeke, is there anything you want to plug before you run off?
I would love to. You can watch the documentary I was a creative consultant on. It's called Disclosure, Trans Lives on Screen. You can find it on Netflix.
You definitely should. It's incredible.
It's great. It's educational. And there are pretty people in it, like me. You can also follow me on Twitter and Instagram. It's at Zekerchief, ZekerChief. Come for the politics, stay for the dick jokes.
Thanks so much, Zeke, for spending 3 hours talking about Parks and Rec with us. And I guess we'll see you at a distance one day.
Yeah, we'll have me back for flu season part 2.
Sounds like a plan. All right. Good night, listeners.
Bye. See ya.